Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, then how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The word of the Lord. We've all seen at sporting events and major things in our culture, people holding placards that says, John 3:16, that which you just heard. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now for those who may not be acquainted with Scripture, they look at this John 3:16 and have absolutely no idea what people are talking about. But for those who have some inkling, they believe it's some reference to a verse in Scripture. For those who are holding the placards, they're trying to say that in one sentence, the whole gospel is simply stated. God loved us, gave us his Son, so that we might believe and have eternal life. It is good news. It is simple message. It is at the core of what we believe as Christians. It is understood as truly a gift from God. Nothing we can earn. We cannot boast of it, for it's something that's truly been given to us, done on behalf of us. And as we wash with the waters of baptism and are made clean, it's by God's doing, not by our doing. And is it not true that when we do something wrong, we tend to want to hide it from others? We want to stay in the shadows, in the darkness, so others may not see it. We do not want it to be revealed because we will then be indicted and need to confess that we have done wrong. And that's not a very good feeling at all. But knowing that every one of us has done something wrong, we all have faced that time in our life when we have to decide whether we are going to reveal that which we've done wrong and seek God's forgiveness or hide from the truth. As it was said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and we are strangers to the truth. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from every kind of wrong. Now that is grace. That's a grace note. That is music to our ears to know that we are loved that deep, that complete. It is that gift that God offers us in Christ that he wants us to live within the joy of. So Paul talks in his Ephesians letter that we should enjoy the riches of God's grace. The riches of God's grace. A prized thing filled with all kinds of intangibles, everlasting things. And what are those riches? One of the riches I think that's in there for us is for us to know that we do not need to live with the sad, desperate feeling of failure. We need not to ponder on our mistakes, of things we did we shouldn't have done, or for the things we should have done. God does not want us to live within that terrible place of feeling bad about ourselves and feeling bad about the world in which we live. God wants us to experience the joy of God's grace, which has you forgiven. Live within that knowledge. And what does it mean to live with that kind of knowledge? Now, you know that I'm a tennis player, and so one of my fellow players, after a very difficult loss in Auburn, told us the next morning in breakfast that he woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning recalling every missed shot he had made. Not remembering the incredible number of good shots that he made that we reminded him of. You remember the bad ones. Anybody else have that issue? Isn't it amazing that no matter how something goes, we only remember the bad? We can't rejoice in the good. Celebrate it. Walk in the light. Enjoy the joy of it. Don't quickly jump and rain all over your parade to make yourself feel bad for the few bad things that didn't go quite as well as you wanted. It's amazing that we like to walk in the darkness of our own mistakes. But we don't like to walk in the lightness of God's forgiveness. The darkness of our mistakes or the light of God's forgiveness. That is what's offered to us in God's love and grace in Christ. That's the kind of joy and life and riches God wants us to live within. And imagine what it would be like if we could let go of some of those things that we tend to beat ourselves over with and just be free with all that energy to enjoy the next moment, in the next day, in the next encounter, in the next attempt, in the next attempted shot, and love. You know, we're given every day of the life in which we live to be about those things that God wants us to do and to ponder those things that we have failed to do just weighs on us like a weight. It's an albatross around our neck. We barely get above the water. We are so pulled down by it. And that's not God's desire. But I think one of the reasons why that seems especially true in our culture is because we have this wonderful Protestant work ethic that says, if you only work a little longer and work a little harder, then things are going to really turn out well for you. And so we spend a lot of time attempting to do that. The problem is we keep running into the encounter of things getting in our way, of things stumbling us along the way, find ourselves doing not as well as we wanted, not accomplishing all that we intended. And so we get at the end of just one day, and we look at what? Not all the things that happened well that day, not all the good things that took place, we begin to ponder all the ways in which we fell short. Gosh, what I could have done. If I'd only done it this way. Right? Isn't that kind of what plays in our song? I mean, that's its own melody. It's not one that's particularly pleasing, not one that brings a lot of joy to our hearts. But gosh, we seem to love to dwell on it, don't we? We love to beat ourselves up. I'm A number one at that. I am so good at that. Just ask my wife. You know, I can turn a sunny day to a cloudy one faster than anything. Because I can just bemoan my troubles and worries and longings. And that's not the kind of life God wants us to live. God wants us to enjoy the riches of His grace. To live in joy, to live in the light of God's forgiveness that says, this next moment's another chance. Here we go again. Let's try again. Let's reach out to someone I meant to call, now I'll attempt to call them. I'm going to write that note that I was going to intend to write. I'm going to finish that paper I was supposed to finish. I'm going to finish up cleaning the yard like I said I was going to do. I'm going to go, yeah, I'll do dishes now. You know, all these little things that are life that play upon us as responsibilities and duties that we take on are fine. The problem is we tend so much time feeling badly when we don't do them in a fashion which we think we're supposed to. We think we're supposed to be perfect. Supposed to be flawless. You know, one of the greatest gifts I was given, this is no dish on Methodist because I grew up Methodist. But one thing the Methodist tradition had in it for such a long time was this ever-perfecting notion that I'm just going to get more perfect as every year goes by. Anybody find that true? I don't. I do find that I'm hopefully maturing in how I deal with things, how I handle life, how I approach my life, and I hope you do too. But to somehow get more perfect, I don't quite see that happening. And so our forgiveness, which is the center of this part of our faith as Presbyterian, reminds us that it's washed away. Hear the good news. We are forgiven in Christ. Live within the joy and grace of God's goodness, of living this day in the light, the next moment in the light, the next moment in the joy and satisfaction of having this incredible life to live. That's where God wants us to be. And that's where I want to be with God. I want to walk in the light, not in the darkness of my mistakes, but in the light of God's forgiveness. Just imagine a moment in the quiet. What would it look like for you to walk in the light of God's forgiveness? I see smiles. Because that's one of the first things that happens for us when we begin to walk in the light, we begin to see things as they are and accept them. Because we feel the joy of the possibility. The joy of yet something to be fulfilled, something yet to be accomplished, some relationship to enjoy. I can see your mind spinning as you begin to think of images of what that would be like, contrary to some of the other images that fill our minds so often, fill our day. It's not just about positive thinking. It's much more important than that. It's an attitude to know that I'm free to live that kind of life. The only one that holds me back from living the joy of the Lord is me. Just me. And God wants to help me with that. God wants me to see things in a new light. To see new hope and possibilities. To see the fullness of what life can be. You know, when you capture those moments, when you're with a small child, and they're beginning to discover something new, and you see the light bulb go off, and you see their eyes light up, there's joy. When you see a friend who's been struggling for a long, long time with an issue and just hasn't been able to find a resolution, and all of a sudden they come to you one day because now something has come to them. They've come to a new resolve, a new understanding, a new appreciation, and you can see their heart's lighter, can't you? Can't you see water? There's a little more bounce in their step, a little more length in their life. And it's true for us, too, when we have those discoveries. When we see the joy in our own life, we see the joy in others. When we see a family member and a loved one truly come across something that fills them, that makes them feel a little more complete. Those are the riches of God's grace. And that's what the Gospels are talking about today. So when you see a placard, John 3:16, it does reaffirm a truth. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. But whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have abundant and everlasting life. But here's the verse that's even equally important that comes right after, which just says, God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, that it might be saved through him. And a lot of the action of grace is to discover that dynamic of being saved, sometimes saved from ourselves. And sometimes I need to be saved from myself, my own lost, mixed up approach to life and how I should attain it and how it should happen and what I should expect from others. There is a freedom offered to us to truly open ourselves up with the wonderment to see what happens. You know, one of the images I find that's helpful is sometime today, because the sun's shining, grab a small pitcher of water, and go out into the sunlight and put out your hand and pour water over it and watch it glisten as the light of God's love and grace shines upon you. Now, here's the trick. The danger is you want to capture the moment, and so what do you want to do? You want to close your hand and get it? And what happens when you close your hand? The water squirts out between your fingers, and the moment's lost. No, just savor it. Savor the incredible grace of God's love for you, for us, for the world. He wants to save us all from ourselves, our own inclinations and preoccupations, to live a kind of love that He wants us to live, with joy and thanksgiving. It is to be a life of celebration. Christ invites you and me into this life.